Blog Talk Radio.
Now let's set the record straight. There's no argument over the choice between peace and war, but there's only one guarantee.
Of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President.
My name is Joseph Gibson. This is Blog Talk Radio, Monday morning quarterback for Dallas Cowboy fans. Welcome to the show this afternoon. It's a little after 3 p.m. here in Greensboro, North Carolina, on a rainy, cloudy day. The show was originally scheduled for 1 p.m. However, I had to bump it up to 3. I got stuck at the dentist's office this morning. Oh, they were only supposed to clean my teeth. However, at 10, because I scheduled the appointment for 10 a.m., and it doesn't take 3 hours to clean teeth. But here in North Carolina, things are a little bit backwards. And the dentist decided she was going to fill 8 of my teeth today. Let me tell you, I never felt so much pain. I've been stabbed, I've been sliced, I've been knocked out. I've had a chest tube inserted in me, and let me tell you something. Today, it hurt worse than any of all that put together. She took that drill when she hit that bottom row. Oh, my Lord, the pain was absolutely terrible. She drills out all the teeth. Let's take a break, she says. I'm full of sweat. Novocaine's wearing off. She doesn't take a break. She goes on to the next patient. And I'm sitting there for 45 minutes in the chair. Come on. Comes back. Okay, we're going to fill them. Starts filling them, but I got a little more drilling to do. Ha ha, the Novocaine's worn off by now. Oh. She fills them. Let's take another break, and then we're going to clean them. Why are you going to clean teeth? Why are you going to clean them? You just filled them. I got to have seven more removed by a surgeon in a couple weeks. Why you got to clean them? Nope, she wants to scrape them. More pain. I didn't get out of there until 10 minutes to 1. So that's why I'm late for the show, my new show. For those of you who do listen to my other show, Understanding the Times in Which We Live In, this is a little bit different of a show. This is sports and entertainment. And there's a lot of Dallas Cowboy fans out there, and I'm a fan, and a lot of people in my family are fans of the Dallas Cowboys. I know it is still yet preseason, and there's not a whole heck of a lot to really talk about. So we're not playing Monday morning quarterback technically for real. However, Dallas did have a game on Saturday night, and they did lose to the Minnesota Vikings. However, for the first half of the football game, the first string team was absolutely spectacular. 14-6, I believe, at halftime the score was. And the first squad, the first team, the starters, were, like I said, spectacular. Tony Romo was 5-for-8 for 88 yards and 2 touchdowns. So he's ready to go. They have one more preseason game, and then it's regular season. Dallas is 0-3 in the preseason right now. But like I said before a couple weeks ago, preseason does not really matter all that much to the fan because there's nothing on the line. It's more matters to the players and the coaches because they're deciding who's going to start the season and who's going to be there, who's going to have a full-time job. For instance, today, this afternoon, right off the Associated Press from the Sports Wire, the Cowboys made the first of five of 14 projected cuts this afternoon as they prepare to meet the NFL's 75-man roster limit on September 1st. Okay, the team parted ways with Tom Hornsey, Casey Kreitler, Robert Steeples, Phil Bates, and Carolith Taylor to begin the roster trimming process. The Cowboys have actually been one man short of the 90-man roster limit for the past week. So the five cuts drop them down to 84 players. They'll need to make 9 more cuts to reach the 75-man limit by the deadline, which is Tuesday at 3 p.m. None of the preliminary cuts were major role players during the Cowboys' 31-day stay at training camp in Oxnard, California. Hornsey and Kreiter, I believe that's how you say his name, Kreiter, have now spent 2 summers with the Cowboys, but neither was considered a serious threat to unseat the respective starter at their position. Chris Jones, Steeples was signed to the practice squad last November and remained with the Cowboys through their playoff run. He saw an uptick in reps during training camp, largely due to a variety of injury issues at the cornerback position. Bates and Taylor, a wide receiver and a defensive tackle, respectively, spent the least amount of time on the roster. Bates signed on August 20th, and Taylor joined on the next day, just in time for both players to get onto the field in the August 23rd preseason loss to San Francisco. Neither of the two played a snap in Saturday's loss to the Minnesota Vikings. So they began cutting players. And we now have, basically, we already know what the roster is going to be like for the season. And pretty much we know who the starters are. You want to know who those backup players are. That is very important because you're almost guaranteed throughout the season to have an injury. Okay? Most Super Bowl teams, if you've ever looked back, don't have serious career-ending injuries during their Super Bowl run. Okay? if you remember correctly, look at the Dallas Cowboys during the 1990s when they won 3 Super Bowls. Did any of their players at that time really receive any serious career-ending injuries at that time? Yes, they received some minor injuries. Aikman was out during a Thanksgiving game where our head coach, Jason Garrett, was the backup. If we remember that Thanksgiving Day game, I believe it was 1994 against the Green Bay Packers, where Jason Garrett, who is now the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, came in and backed up Aikman because Aikman was out due to a concussion. And he came in and they won. Actually, it was a very exciting game. Can't believe it was that many years ago, that game. Can't believe it. 1994. Can't believe it. Almost 20 years ago. Seems like it was yesterday I was watching that game. Unbelievable. But, you know, the game, like I said, was highlighted by the starters in the first half. And usually the third preseason game is when all the players, your starters get the most reps in a game. They usually play one half, and in the second half, the second and third stringers come in. Okay, and that's what happened, and that's why Dallas lost the game. See, in the first half, they were winning 14-6, and in the second half, all the second stringers came in, and then they lost 28-14, I believe the score was. I'll have to look at the score. I don't want to give you the wrong score, but they lost, and they really didn't stand a chance. Yes, it was 28-14, the loss. So in the second half, they didn't score any more points with their second team. So and of course, Minnesota kept a lot of their first string players in the second half. So I'll tell you what, though, the NFC East, people better watch out for the Philadelphia Eagles this year. Dallas is going to have to be very careful of the Philadelphia Eagles. The Philadelphia Eagles look strong. Let me tell you something. They look pretty good. Their first string team looks really good, really good. They look sharp. They're clicking on all cylinders. They blew away Green Bay in the first half this past week. Killed them. And that was first team against first team. So, the NFC East is going to be interesting. I don't expect much from the Giants this year. Don't expect much at all from the Giants. Washington, I don't expect much from the Washington Redskins either. However, when they play the Dallas Cowboys, we all know Dallas and Washington. That's a rivalry, and they both play each other hard. When Dallas went 1-15 back in 1990, I believe it was, the only game they won, they beat the Washington Redskins. And I believe the Washington Redskins went to the Super Bowl that year. I could be wrong. I know they went in 91 or 92 or 90. I'm not sure. They went one of those years with quarterback Doug Williams, I think it was. And Dallas, the only win Dallas had was against the Washington Redskins. And it's the same when Dallas went to the Super Bowl during the 1990s. Washington stunk the place up, and the only time they won was against the Cowboys. So it seems like the worst team always wins. They try to play harder, I guess. I don't know. But, if you're looking for a sign offensively early in this game, the 60-yard catch and run by Terrence Williams was exactly what you needed. The throw by Tony Romo off play action was absolutely spectacular against a too deep look. Couldn't have been any better. The two things that made the play were Williams continuing to run hard across the field on the in cut and Tyrone Smith holding place, which allowed Romo to slide up and over in the pocket to make the throw. So Romo, for a 60-yard catch in preseason, 60-yard running catch, that's pretty darn good. So they're getting back in rhythm. And that's two. And Terrence Williams was the number one receiver that night because Dez Bryant is nursing an injury, hamstring injury. But he should be expected to play a few reps in the fourth preseason game, and he will be ready for game one of the season. Season one. But the second thing I want to go over real quick, with the suspension of Rolando McClain, I was wondering how this Cowboys defense was going to account for his loss on run defense. The route I believe they will take, and we saw this more toward the end of last season, was to play Barry Church near the line of scrimmage and use him like an extra defender in the box. There were several snaps in this game where Church was positioned right where he needed to be to help these linebackers finish run plays before they had a chance to develop. So we may see that again this year. for the first four games, because Rolando McClain, what I believe, in my opinion, they should do is they should put Sean Lee back at middle linebacker until Rolando McClain comes back after the suspension, and then move Sean Lee back to the weak side, so this way here he can attack the ball more. I think that's what they should do, because Sean Lee did play that position before he had a season-ending injury the year before, if anyone remembers correctly. Where Darren McFadden can help this offense is in the ability to work in and out of potential tackles. McFadden can accelerate through a hole, stop, then restart again, go into a totally different direction as he needs to find space. He is a little bit different from Joseph Randall in this regard, as well as how quickly he is able to get the ball around the corner to capture the edge. Do not have to hold their position as long when he has the ball in his hands. Okay, so you got a little bit different style runners here. So this running back by committee may actually work. Getting rid of DeMarco Murray, I believe, was a mistake, in my opinion. I believe they could have signed them somehow, some way, and kept all their players intact. I mean, they got rid of DeMarco Murray, I would assume so, because they wanted Adrian Peterson from Minnesota. I believe that's what the game was, but it never materialized. So, but it was still a mistake. I mean, DeMarco Murray rushed for over 1,800 yards last year. He won the league in rushing. And you're going to let him go after the season and not have any running back in sight? You know, and a lot of people disagree with me on that. You know, they think, you know, any running back can run through this offensive line. Well, do you remember when Emmitt Smith held out for two games during that second Super Bowl year they won? Remember when he held out for two games and we thought, well, and Jerry Jones wouldn't give him that big contract? Dallas went 0-2 because their star running back was not on the field. And the other running backs couldn't do anything behind that mammoth offensive line they had. The Wall, they called it back in the 1990s, the Great Wall. That offensive line was probably one of the best offensive lines ever in the football in the history of the NFL today. They're saying this offensive line Dallas has is probably going to be the greatest. We shall see. I still think they give up way too many sacks. They are great run blockers. Pass blocking, I don't think they did that good of a job last year. I mean, you got to remember, Romo is very elusive. So if there was Troy Aikman sitting back here, he would have been crushed last year. Probably would have got 20 or 30 sacks. Okay? So we'll see how good this offensive line holds up this year. Like I said, injuries. Injuries are a key also. You got to remember, when you work together on an offensive line and you got those five guys constantly working together, they have kind of like a chemistry. And when one goes down and you put someone else in there with a different type of technique, it kind of spins. And one mistake, your quarterback is gone for the season because he's crushed. Okay? So an offensive line is very important because the guy who's the captain of the team marching that football down the field, without him, the season's gone. It's over. Let me tell you something. Whedon is not going to lead this team to a Super Bowl. So Romo has got to stay healthy. Vaughn, get rid of him. He's a bum. Get rid of him. I don't like him. I don't like Whedon either. It's a shame that the defense is going to lose Greg Hardy for those first four games of the season. Hardy, though, I have not seen him do anything really in preseason. They say he keeps having good practices, but what's he doing in preseason? What has he done? I've seen anything impressive. I've seen Gregory, 3 sacks, a sack a game, and he's a rookie. I see him doing it, getting it done. This guy, Greg Hardy, with all those millions of dollars, and he's guaranteed money from the play, you know. I don't see him doing too much. He should be doing a lot more, especially since he's going to be gone for the first four games of the season due to another suspension, by the way. Hardy is starting to show signs of that dominating player he was in Carolina Panthers. He's starting to regain some explosiveness, which was his trademark. And you are starting to see him in position to finish more plays, both in the running game and rushing the quarterback. He has the ability to make those around him better with his play, and they are going to miss that. You know, after this season, unless Hardy does something really spectacular and has a really spectacular season, I don't think Dallas will re-sign him next year. I don't think so. I really don't. I think he's a one-year wonder here in Dallas, unless he does something spectacular. He comes back after four games and still has 15 sacks. They'll put him back on the roster next year. They'll sign him again. 15 sacks, missing four games. That's pretty good. That's damn good. Other than his pass interference call in the game, which was the right call, I thought Morris Claiborne played very well. He looked comfortable in handling these receivers in his route positioning. Another player that was injured last year, Claiborne, a former number one draft pick. He was right where he needed to be all game. I was a little bit impressed with his ability to hold the edge when the ball spilled to his side. There was one play in particular where he was reduced down into the box and he had to fight the block of offensive tackle Matt Khalil. Claiborne was able to play off the block and help make the tackle on the play. I mean, this team is loaded with cornerbacks, but we lost Skandrick for the year. Now, Skandrick was a great quarterback. And I got someone with a question here real quick, so I'm going to put him on because this is a shorter show than my other shows, so I'll put him on. 2355237, go ahead.
Hey, I was just going to say something about DeMarco Murray. From what I understand, he became a free agent, too. And I think it was a big mistake that the Cowboys let him go.
Yeah, it was a big mistake because they had no plan. I think the hidden plan agenda was to get Adrian Peterson, but that never happened.
Yeah, but DeMarco Murray really was the best.
Oh, he was the best last year, but can he do it again this year? I'll tell you what, if he does it in Philadelphia, Jerry Jones just made another jerk out of himself.
That's right, that's right. We'll wait and see. I haven't seen Philadelphia play yet.
Yeah, I've seen him in preseason, and let me tell you something. They were shutting out Green Bay, starters against starters in the first half. I believe it was 21-0. So,
wow.
I mean, yeah. I know.
Yep. Okay.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm good. That's okay. I'm going to try listening, but where I'm going towards Eden, I'm going to lose you.
Okay, that's fine. Go ahead. I'm not going to be on for too much longer anyway because,
like
I said, it's preseason, you know? All right.
Right,
thank you.
Right. Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for calling in. That's Deborah Lewis from Eden, North Carolina. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. Okay, she's off the air now. All right, but, yeah, that was a big mistake losing Murray. I mean, he won the rushing title. Why wouldn't you try to bring him back? He wanted a huge contract. Well, I think he earned it. You know, even in prior years, you remember that game against the Rams, he ran for more yards in a single game than any other Cowboy running back in history. I believe it was 3 years ago, I believe his first year, where he ran for 270-something yards in one game. And then he got injured, so he never was able to really show anybody what he could do. But last year, he stayed healthy the entire season. Now, the fumbles. Yes. I remember throwing my soda or my beer can at the TV when he dropped that ball in that playoff game. Because if he doesn't fumble in that playoff game, the Dallas Cowboys go on to play Seattle. And they already beat Seattle earlier on, okay? And then when Dallas beats Seattle, they're in the Super Bowl. And all that big catch hype doesn't matter anymore. That was another one. Dez Bryant makes that catch, which he did make it. They go into the end zone, they score, and guess what? We probably would have won that game because it would have switched the entire momentum of the entire game back over to Dallas. Imagine beating Green Bay in Lambeau Field in the playoffs in December. That would have been a huge win. And they would have had to go play Seattle then. And we already know they beat Seattle impressively earlier on in the year. So we might have gone to the Super Bowl last year. But last year's in the books. Should have, could have, didn't, what? It's okay to talk about the players we should have had, and we're always going to second guess, and that's why it's Monday morning quarterback. We're going to second guess everything. We're the Monday morning quarterback. We're going to wonder why. We ever hear somebody say, you know, you can always play quarterback on Monday. That's right, and that's what we're going to do on this show. We're the Monday morning quarterback. We're going to say what they should have did on Sunday, okay, instead of saying what they should have did on Saturday, or what they should do on Saturday, okay? So just one more real quick, couple more paragraphs, and we'll start getting ready to wrap it up. Like I said, it's preseason. We'll try to stick to the full hour, next week, but, with, you know, there's not much going on still. It's going to be the fourth preseason game. You won't see that much more from the starting cast, but unless some major trades happen or moves happen. But then we have week one coming up. And, of course, we'll be in high gear with this show. And I expect to hear a lot from a lot more people and callers. And, you know, you email me throughout the week, last week, and then I don't hear from you. And here I am live on the air, and I don't get a question from you. So, you know, you got to tune in. I know the show. I know. I probably lost half my listeners because I bumped it up 2 hours. I know that. So, but next week we'll be on at 1 p.m. I can't do 3 p.m. I can do it at 1 p.m., okay, 1 to 2. Next Monday, I will let you know. But in 2 weeks from now, we will definitely have a full show, 1 to 2 p.m., 2 weeks from now. It'll be season one, and the season's kicked off, and we're going to play Monday morning quarterback, and this is the Dallas Cowboys Fans Corner. So, Cowboy fans around the world, you can call into this show, blogtalkradio.com/Joseph Gibson. That into your browser, all my shows will pop up. If you can't find me live, then I don't think you know how to run a computer. All right. Anyway, my sixth paragraph here I got here, I just want to brief touch up on a little bit. You know, we're starting to see the Cowboys defense play a little more zone coverage. I don't like zone coverage. I thought Ron Marinelli, excuse me, always played man-to-man. You know, I don't like that zone because you're giving up big chunks of yards. You miss a tackle, you got the other guy waiting. So what are you trying to say? You're a poor tackling team? Because when you play man-to-man, if you miss a tackle, it's game over. The guy gets away when you play man-to-man. You play zone, you miss, you got another guy in the zone ready to take him down. All right? I could be wrong. If someone disagrees with me, they can always call in and criticize me on that. But I think that's why zone is used, because you don't believe in your tackling skills. All right. There were situations in the past where playing zone meant giving up big plays. But so far in these preseason games, that trend is going the other way. Devon Coleman continues to impress me with his ability to make plays inside at the defensive tackle spot. Coleman got the opportunity to play both as a nose and under tackle in this game. And he was outstanding. He was quick off the ball. He was attacking the ball. There were very few snaps where the Vikings guards were actually able to handle him. He penetrated on the run and pressured the pocket on the pass. He has a knack for working down the line, let me tell you, and making plays on the edge. If you gave me a choice of him or Terrell McClain as that rotational tackle, I'm learning. I'm kind of like leaning towards Coleman on that. My initial thought from watching that game was that Brandon Carr had a solid night, but as I watched the highlights, he could have done a lot better. Now, if he had just made a couple more plays, I thought the defense holding call on him was a bad call, and there was nothing more he could have done. So, you know, Brandon Carr is going to have to really pick it up. I mean, we got Claiborne back. Like I said, he was injured last year. All right, and we got that first-round pick, Jones. But I think he's going to end up playing safety for us. I think our corners are going to be like this. It's going to be Claiborne and Carr, and you're going to have Tyler Patman backing up Carr. I don't know who's going to back up Claiborne yet. Might be Jones, okay? But your first-round rookie slot's probably going to end up, most likely, I would say halfway through the season, if not in the beginning, starting at safety. Because remember, we lost Orlando Scandrick, and he really came on last year pretty strong. All right? So I think that's how your corners. Now, as far as linebackers go, it's going to be Lee McClain, and I'm not sold on the, I'm not sold on the other starter. I just really am not sold on him. You know, they brought in a lot of linebackers this year. To go over all their names, you know, Gacker and Andrew Gacker, You know, she's not bad. But, you know, I'm not sold on him yet. You know, I believe that also at the receiver position, we'll go to the other side of the ball real quick. I believe that Cole Beasley will be the punt returner this year. Cole Beasley has blazing speed. We saw that. He won a couple games for us last year. Cole Beasley, they should get the ball to him more. That's about all I got to say for this week's show on the Dallas Cowboys. If anyone else has a question or comment, you can go ahead and call in 657-383-0616. Press 1. I'll put you through. If you don't have anything to say, you by all means can email me, joegibsonishome@yahoo.com. Put your email up at the show. I'll post the question on the board. I'll put it in the chat box, or I'll even announce it on the air. So I would like to thank the people who did listen in today. And I know a lot of people will go back and archive the show because I missed my starting time, my regular start time up, okay, for the show. And I apologize for that. But I assure you we will be here at 1 o'clock in 2 weeks. The Monday morning quarterback, the Dallas Cowboys fans quarter. We cannot wait, Cowboy fans, for season. Excuse me. See, I keep saying season. Game one. I have a feeling this year we're going to the Super Bowl. Have a good day. My name's Joseph Gibson on Blog Talk Radio.